Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
A rash of suicides by police officers has shaken the New York City Police Department, leading the commissioner to declare a mental health emergency and highlighting the problem of untreated depression among law enforcement officers nationwide. As of late last week, there were 9 suicides in the NYPD. Joining us live this morning is Jessica Pirro, CEO of Crisis Services here in Buffalo. A difficult subject, Jessica, but we'd like to hear what you're thinking, especially when suicide claims more officer lives annually than violence in the line of duty.
Yeah, absolutely. Good morning, and thank you so much for having me on to have this critical conversation. I think that when we see situations like this, in the suicide prevention community, it's of grave concern. We know that risk of knowing other people that have died by suicide will put people at risk. So there's one concern right off the bat that we are focusing on, which is contagion around suicide. That seems to be a factor that we're looking at when we look at the situation at the NYPD. But I think what we also have to talk about is the regular exposure to trauma on this type of job. That really can increase somebody who might already be vulnerable from depression, anxiety, or other types of mental illnesses.
Plus, isn't there kind of a psychological toll from police work, too? I mean, we're talking about a profession where discussing mental health for a long time was seen as taboo, right? Something you just didn't speak about.
Absolutely. I think what we're also dealing against is stigma, exactly what you just said. I think in this particular profession, it's one that you don't want to show any signs of weakness. It's viewed as, as a problem. Specifically men also are most vulnerable because they don't want to talk about what's going on. They don't want to express their emotional concerns. But that really speaks to stigma in many levels. Stigma around mental health, but also stigma in the police force when there's concern of, dependability, reliability, if you're having some sort of an emotional concern going on.
Jessica, is depression treated as a legitimate injury?
Well, when it comes down to injuries like that, yes. I mean, we have specific labor laws that do protect individuals that have any type of mental illness. So I think we need to also remember they are employees of an institution. They have a lot of stress factors in addition to the exposure of trauma on the everyday job, seeing various car accidents, reports of domestic violence, dealing with child abuse, having to respond to homicide scenes. These types of factors compound them and put them at risk. And we also have to know that shift work, for example, lack of sleep, stressors that they might be experiencing on the job. And the other thing we also have to be very aware of with police is their immediate access to firearms, which puts them at high risk.
Yeah. Peer-to-peer support groups, is that offered pretty widely around, the police departments, in not just, locally, but throughout Western New York and possibly even more than that?
Yes, I think what's important to highlight for Western New York is that in addition to crisis services being a resource for anybody in the community, including our police community and their families, we're fortunate to have the Western New York Law Enforcement Helpline, which is actually a peer-to-peer support. It's officers throughout Western New York who are trained as peer counselors to help other officers. And the number for that is 858-COPS. And I think what's beneficial for us in this community is this helpline's been around for a while and it continues to build utilization, which is a good sign, is that people are reaching out for help, officers are reaching out to help, and they're talking to one of their own, which I think sometimes in certain professions can be very reassuring because you're talking to somebody that understands the day-to-day exposure and concerns that they see on the job.
Is this one of the biggest work fields that's prone to this?
I think that there's a lot of professions that are at risk to suicide. And I think for police, it is a higher, we do see some higher rates, I think mainly because the fact that they have immediate access to a firearm. And I think that that's one of the things when we're talking about ways to prevent suicide for law enforcement is for jurisdictions to consider some sort of means reduction program when they do have an officer who's at risk. Not every officer is required to have their gun on them at 24 hours a day. So when you do have an officer who might be at risk, who is maybe having thoughts of suicide or having some sort of emotional challenges or stressors, there might need to be a conversation about limiting access to the firearm, which will help reduce their suicide risks significantly.
Jessica, we appreciate your time this morning. Jessica Pirro, CEO of Crisis Services, and that Western New York Law Enforcement Helpline that she mentioned, 858-COPS, 858-COPS.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.